From Hollywood, California, we present Gene Herschelt in the new Dr. Christian story, presented for your pleasure by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. Last week, Dr. Christian reminded us that there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of, and promised to tell us about one of the strangest of them. I know you're all anxious to hear him make good on that threat, so I'm going to deliver my message quickly by introducing to you at once our guest of the evening, who has some interesting testimony about the use of Vaseline Hair Tonic.
I never realized how easy it is to give my scalp an oil treatment until the other day, when a friend of mine suggested I try Vaseline Hair Tonic. You never saw such an amazing transformation. You see, I'd always been bothered by dry scalp. My hair was dull and brittle, and I simply couldn't manage it for days after a shampoo. But now my hair is soft and lustrous, and so much easier to arrange. From now on, I'll be using Vaseline Hair Tonic before every shampoo.
Thank you, and I'm sure you'll go on winning compliments on your beautiful hair. Now let me tell all you women listening in how you can give yourself this beneficial oil treatment at a minimum of fuss and bother, a minimum of expense. First, you rub plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic directly on the scalp. Then wring a towel out of piping hot water and wrap it around your head. Repeat this process two or three times, and then shampoo. If you have any symptoms of dry scalp, such as brittle, lusterless hair that just won't stay in place, or loose dandruff scales, you too will find that these Vaseline Hair Tonic treatments have made an amazing transformation. A generous shaker top bottle of Vaseline Hair Tonic costs only 40 cents at your druggist. Get a bottle tomorrow. There's the overture music, which signals that the curtain is about to rise on our Dr. Christian drama, Stranger Things, starring Gene Herschelt as the popular doctor of River's End, supported by Rosemary DeCamp in the role of Judy Price, Jerry Moore as Mayor Hewitt, Carl Brewster as Joe Fletcher, our local investment broker, Gloria Holden as Mrs. Fletcher, Walter Tetley as their 8-year-old son, Alan, and Norman Field as Harvey Ziegler, treasurer of River's End. As the scene opens, Alan is upstairs asleep while Joe and Alice Fletcher are reading in the living room. Joe opens the conversation casually.
Well, I guess I'll hit the hay, Alice. I have an early appointment in the morning with Harvey Ziegler. I sold him $30,000 worth of the new bonds today.
Why, Joe, you didn't. Oh, how wonderful.
It was a good sale.
$30,000. That means a nice little commission check for us, doesn't it?
Sure does, and we can use it. Beats the devil how the bills pile up.
And the deal is really all closed?
Yes, I delivered the bonds this afternoon. Ziegler was in a conference, so I left the bonds and arranged with Jack Martin to go back in the morning for my check.
You're sure the bonds are safe?
Just as secure in his safe as ours.
I suppose so.
What do you mean, you suppose so? Harvey Ziegler's the town treasurer.
Yes, I know, but somehow I never liked that man.
Women do get the darndest prejudices. Why, Harvey Ziegler's one of the smartest eggs in this town. He's been mixed up in all the progressive civic moves the town's made in 10 years. Why, I can remember when... Holy smoke!
Oh, it's Alan.
Mother!
Yes, Alan, yes, I'm coming, dear. It's another one, Joe, another nightmare.
Sounds
come with me.
Mother!
Yeah. Sounds scared silly, doesn't he?
Yes, oh, the poor little fellow.
Now, just be calm about it, Alice.
Mother! Come,
Mother! Yes, Alan, yes, dear, Mother's coming. What is it, Sonny?
Mother!
Yes, Alan. Oh, Mother's here right now holding you close, darling. You're all right, Alan. Everything's all right. You were just dreaming. Oh, now, Alan, be quiet now, dear. See, Mother and Dad are both here with you.
What's the matter, old man? Do you have a bad dream? Here, son, stop that. Take it easy now.
Oh, Joe, give me your handkerchief.
And
get me a wet towel, will you? I want to bathe his face.
Right.
Well, darling, tell Mother what it was, Alan. Did a dream frighten you again? Alan. Alan, answer me, dear. Oh, can't you stop crying? Alan, answer me.
Mother, I'm afraid. I'm afraid.
Here's the towel, Alice.
Yes.
Come on now, son. Stop crying and brace up.
Yes.
You're not that scared, are you?
Oh, Joey's out of his mind with terror. I can't stand it any longer. Please go and call Dr. Christian.
Better now? Yes, I'm better.
Does the ice bag feel good on your head?
Yes.
All tucked in comfortably?
Yes.
So you think my knife is almost as good as a scout knife, huh?
Golly, yes, it's a dandy.
Well, you can give it back to me now, and I'll put it here on the table where you can find it the first thing in the morning.
You mean you're going to leave it here?
Sure thing. It's for you.
For keeps?
Yep.
Gee, thanks.
Oh, don't mention it. Well, I'll be getting along now. Shall I send your mother in to say goodnight?
Yes, please.
Bye, Alan.
Bye.
Everything okay?
Uh-huh. I'm not so afraid anymore.
Oh, of course you're not. You've got it all figured out now that it was just a dream. As soon as you know what a thing is, you stop being afraid of it.
Yeah. It wasn't just because I had a bad dream that I was afraid, though.
No?
Uh-uh. That's not what scares me.
What is it, then?
Well, it's because... Well, Dr. Christian, my dreams always come true.
Well, if you just dreamed the right thing, that should be very convenient.
You think I'm fooling, don't you? But, Dr. Christian, it's so. It's happened lots of times. I get a dream, an awful dream. And then pretty soon it really happens.
What have you dreamed that really happened, Alan?
Well, there was the time the church burned down, and the time Sally got run over, and the time the Ryan's car got hit by a train.
Well, you don't mean you dreamed all those things beforehand.
I did, Dr. Christian. Honest, I did.
You sure you don't just think you remember these dreams after the thing happens?
No. When I wake up and remember the dream, I know it's got to happen. And then I just sort of wait.
Alan.
Yes?
How about telling me what your dream was tonight?
No, I couldn't.
Well, why not?
I daren't. It's too bad. When it happens, everybody will blame me, maybe. And anyhow, I'm afraid to tell on Mr. Ziegler.
Mr. Ziegler? What Mr. Ziegler?
Mr. Harvey Ziegler.
Harvey Ziegler was in your dream?
Yes.
Well, what happened to him?
He hurt his arm.
Hurt his arm? Well, how did he hurt his arm?
On the safe.
Listen, Alan. Let me understand this. You dreamed that Harvey Ziegler hurt his arm on a safe, and that frightened you?
And that wasn't all. He was scared.
Why was he scared?
Well, because he was doing something wrong, I guess. Maybe because he was stealing.
You dreamed he was robbing the safe?
Yes, he was taking papers out of it. Lots of papers. And hiding them under the floor.
So that's what frightened you?
Dreams like that aren't regular dreams, Dr. Christian. They're lots plainer. Like it was really happening.
Listen, Alan. The reason I asked you to tell me this tonight was so you'd see how silly it is. Why, Mr. Ziegler is no burglar. He's a fine man. He's our city treasurer.
I know it. But if it should come true, well, the others did.
But it couldn't come true, don't you see? That's the point. Now let's try to forget it, shall we?
Uh-huh.
Here, finish your milk.
Well, I...
If you'll bring your knife over tomorrow, I'll show you how scouts mark trees so as to make a trail through the deep woods.
Will you really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, I'll be there right after school. There, it's all gone.
Fine. Good night, Alan.
Good night, Dr. Christian.
Well, Dr. Christian, how is he?
He's fine. He's going to sleep.
But did you find out what was the matter?
Oh, bad dream, I guess.
Yes, I know it was a dream, but...
See, Alice, what did I tell you? All kids have spells like that, don't they, Dr. Christian?
No, not exactly like this.
Alice just gets excited. What was the dream? Could you find out?
It wasn't the dream itself so much that frightened him as the idea he has that his dreams always come true.
Good heavens.
Come true?
Yes, he says the things he dreams always happen. He told me two or three of them.
But had they come true?
Well, he may just have had the idea after they happened that he had dreamed about them.
Well, what was this one tonight?
Oh, something about Harvey Ziegler robbing a safe.
Well, that one's not likely to come true.
Well, maybe that'll convince him. It's just an idea he has. When he sees it, it doesn't happen.
Well, he seems to be all right physically. But I want to make a thorough examination just to be sure there's nothing organically wrong. I asked him to come over tomorrow. Well, I'll be getting along now. And don't worry, Alice.
Thank you.
Well, who'd be calling at this hour?
Well, maybe somebody for me. I left word I was here.
I'll see.
All right, sir.
Hello? Hello? Yes, this is Joe. Who? Oh, yes. Yeah. Say that again. Yes. I'll be right down, Jack, right away.
Why, Joe, what's the matter? You look so funny. Who was it, dears? Anything wrong?
It was Jack Martin. He's over at the municipal building. That $30,000 worth of bonds has been stolen. Somebody just robbed the safe in Harvey Ziegler's office.
It's been 2 full weeks now, and we haven't even a clue. As mayor of this town, it makes me very uncomfortable.
I know it does, John.
Dr. Christian doesn't sleep nights, Mayor Hewitt, worrying about it. It's awful being secretary to a doctor who's turned detective.
Yeah, it reads like the first chapter in a mystery story, all right. Thief scales up a drain pipe, breaks a window, opens a safe, and escapes with $30,000 in loot. Without opening a window or a door. How'd he do it? Carry the stuff back down the drain pipe with him?
It doesn't seem likely.
Oh, we've gone over and over it until we're dizzy.
Ziegler's office is 5 stories from the ground. The watchman never heard a sound, never even knew Ziegler had come into the building. Until he saw the light in Ziegler's office as he came down the hall.
And that was just at the moment Mr. Ziegler had come in and discovered the robbery.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's lucky that the watchman didn't shoot Ziegler, mistaking him for a burglar. All of the executives in the building have pass keys, but they're not supposed to come in at night without notifying the watchman.
Well, that's the part I still don't understand. Why Ziegler didn't notify the watchman he was coming up?
Oh, he said the watchman was nowhere around. And he only came up for a paper. He expected to stay just a minute.
Yes, I know what he says. I know what's in your mind, too.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Now, whatever my suspicions may be, there isn't a single thing to confirm them. Oh, they couldn't be correct. The whole thing would be just too pat.
Well, maybe the thief figured it that way, too.
What do you mean?
There's an old trick when you play a game like hide the thimble. That the best place to hide it is right in plain view.
I see your point. Oh, well, we're probably being very unfair to an innocent man. Where are the bonds? There isn't a scrap of real evidence.
No. None that would be admitted in court.
Now, what do you mean? Do you know anything?
No. It's fantastic. I can't even talk about it.
Well, if it would shed any light, I'd...
It wouldn't. It's just a coincidence. Rather an uncanny one, but...
If it has any bearing at all on the case, it's worth considering.
Tell him, Dr. Christian.
Well, I can't use it until everything else is paid.
Well, I don't know of anything more to try.
John, did you ever have a dream and then have it come true?
No.
If I did, I wouldn't believe it.
Well, I was afraid you'd feel that way about it.
Now, what have my sleep habits got to do with the robbery? You're not insinuating I did it while unconscious, are you?
No. Forget it, will you? It's just, well, I'm sorry I brought it up.
Your secretary said to come right in, Mayor Hewitt. I wanted to... Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Christian. I thought the mayor was alone.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Ziegler. Judy and I are just leaving.
Come in, Ziegler. We're discussing the robbery.
That's all anyone discusses these days.
Yeah, it puts Joe Fletcher in a bad spot, doesn't it? Having delivered the bonds and not being paid.
It's all regrettable. It's a mystery that would baffle even Sherlock Holmes. Not a trace, not a clue. As though the robber had vanished into thin air.
Do you believe in magic, Mr. Ziegler?
Magic? Of course not. Why?
Because it is the only means whereby a man can disappear into thin air. If we discredit the ability to do that, the thief must be accounted for in some other way.
I know, but how? The doors and windows were all bolted?
Curious, isn't it?
I think so.
If he really went up the drain pipe, which I don't believe, he certainly never went down it with his arms full of booty.
Dr. Christian, what are you hinting at?
Oh, I'm just trying to think it through. I thought you wanted suggestions.
I do. As head of the investigating committee, I'm making every effort.
Yes, of course. Mr. Ziegler, do you believe in dreams? That they sometimes come true?
Dreams? Come true?
Yes. Mayor Hewitt here doesn't, he was telling me. Some people do. Do you?
Of course not. Absurd. Old wives' tales. Why, Dr. Christian? Why do you ask that?
Oh, no special reason, only... Somebody told me the other day he had a dream about you.
About me? That's curious. Why would anyone dream of me? What did he dream?
He dreamed you'd hurt your arm.
Hurt my arm? Why, how curious. Why would he dream that? Gloomy sort of dream, don't you think?
Maybe it's a warning, Mr. Ziegler. Watch yourself when crossing streets. Don't crank any cars and beware of slippery sidewalks.
Thanks for the tip. I'll be careful. I'll be going along now.
The dream hasn't by any chance come true already, has it, Mr. Ziegler?
What? What do you mean?
I mean, I haven't warned you too late, have I? You haven't already hurt your arm.
Already hurt my arm? Why, no, no.
Well, I'm glad of that. I thought you'd been carrying it a little stiffly. Would have been almost too much of a coincidence if you had.
Coincidence? What are you talking about, Doc?
I told you, John, this patient of mine had a dream about Mr. Ziegler.
Oh, yes.
And in that dream, Mr. Ziegler was bending over a pile of papers and documents.
What?
And as Mr. Ziegler straightened up, suddenly he struck his arm a hard blow on the edge of his safe door.
My safe door?
It hit you right about there. What's the matter? That didn't hurt you, did it? That little touch?
No, not at all. Just took me by surprise.
Arm sore there?
No, it's not sore.
Then what have you got it bandaged for?
I haven't got it bandaged. That is, I put a little lotion on it. I strained it the other day, moving some furniture.
Oh, well, better let me take a look at it.
No, it's nothing.
Oh, those strains can be nasty sometimes. Won't take a moment.
I won't
hurt you. Oh, Mayor Hewitt, I guess you'll have to help me with this obstinate patient.
Huh?
Pull off his coat, will you?
I don't want my coat off.
Hold him, John, while I get this sleeve.
Get away from me.
Now, wait a minute. You can't force him, Dr. Christian.
Yes, I can. There. Well, I'm sorry I'm rough, but it's my professional duty.
You can't look at it, I tell you. Keep your hands off me or I'll have you arrested.
You can arrest me all you like after I've seen that arm. Unbutton your shirt.
Mayor Hewitt, I demand you stop this outrage.
Now, Dr. Christian, really, I don't understand.
The man's gone mad. Call the police.
You don't want the police called, do you, Mr. Ziegler? Well, if you don't, you'd better unbutton that shirt and let me look at that arm. Are you going to do it? Are you? All right, you forced me to.
No, Doc, for heaven's sake.
Blast you.
There. I thought so. You see that, Mayor Hewitt? That injury to his upper arm? That strain he says he got moving furniture is a gash. And a deep one, too. He got it when it hit it against the edge of the safe door.
That isn't true.
You can put your coat back on again now, Mr. Ziegler. I've got all the evidence I need.
Evidence? What do you mean? You haven't got any evidence against me. Just because my arm is sore? What business is it of yours how I hurt it? That doesn't make me guilty. Stop looking at me that way, Dr. Christian. You can't prove a thing. What do you know? Dr. Christian, what do you know?
I know everything. I know you hid in the closet in your office when you were supposed to have left for the day. I know you waited there until after the watchman had made his first rounds. And then, I know you robbed your own safe.
No.
I know you reached outside and smashed the window to make it look as though the robber had come up the drainpipe. But first, you hit the security.
Dr. Christian, these are terrible charges.
The police have searched my office time after time. They found nothing hidden there, no securities.
The police haven't looked in the right place.
What do you mean, Dr. Christian?
The securities are in a secret compartment. Under the floor.
What?
It isn't true. You don't know these things.
It is true. I do know them.
Yes. You do know them. Somehow. I can see it in your face. But how? Nobody knew, Dr. Christian. Nobody knew.
You might as well confess, Mr. Ziegler. We have the whole story now.
Yes. Yes, I'll confess. What else is there to do? I was in a jam. I thought I could cover it this way. No one would suspect me.
You didn't expect to be caught in your office, did you?
No. I was going to let myself out with my pass key, leave the downstairs door open, but the watchman came too soon. I had to think fast. Make up a story of how I came to be there.
Well, that's the way we figured it might have happened, didn't we, Judy?
Yes,
Mr.
but...
Mr. Ziegler, you'll come this way.
Well, you're going to...
The matter's out of our hands. Officer, you take Mr. Ziegler to the sheriff's office? I'll come immediately.
Yes, Your Honor.
No. Oh, very well. There's just one thing before I go, Dr. Christian. How did you know?
Mr. Ziegler, it's not a question you're entitled to ask. Officer.
Yes, Your Honor. Come along, Mr. Ziegler.
Dr. Christian, in heaven's name, did you know this all along? How did you find out?
I told you it was a dream, John.
Yeah, but whose dream?
Well, I'm not at liberty to tell that.
But How could a dream?
I know. I was as surprised as you were when Ziegler confessed. I didn't think there was one chance in 100 he would admit it.
But if it hadn't been true. Oh, what a chance to take.
Yes, it was a risk.
But Dr. Christian, how do you explain about that dream?
I couldn't explain it, Judy. Even if I were a psychologist instead of a country doctor.
You mean no one understands, even the scientists?
There are many things even science can't make clear to us yet.
But you think they do exist. I've never heard of a stranger thing.
Oh, there always have been these stranger things, John. We just don't understand them because, well, we are not ready for them yet. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than I dreamt of in your philosophy. We'll find out about them when the time comes.
And the curtain comes down on our Dr. Christian drama, Stranger Things. But don't turn your dials, because we have yet to hear from Gene Hirschold, our star, about next week's play. While we're waiting for Mr. Hirschold, may I say a word about the products that make this program possible. February brings colds and sniffles to many of us. If you don't have Vaseline jelly in your medicine cabinet right now, get a 10-cent tube or jar tomorrow. You'll find, like thousands of others, that Vaseline jelly brings quick relief from that dry and stuffy feeling, makes breathing easier. Just apply a little of it up each nostril. The heat of the body will melt it and distribute a soothing, protective coating over the irritated membranes. And Vaseline jelly is excellent for chapped or wind-burned skin and in the relief of minor injuries and irritations. There are three important reasons why Vaseline jelly is so effective in so many ways. First, it softens and lubricates the skin by supplementing the natural skin oils. Second, it forms a protective film that helps keep infection out when the skin is broken. And third, it soothes and promotes healing. Vaseline jelly is so beneficial to the skin that it is used as a base for other specialty products, such as Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline lip ice, Vaseline carbolated jelly, and Vaseline camphor ice. Be sure to look for the trademark Vaseline when you buy. It's your guarantee of purity. And now, Gene Hirschold is here in the role of the popular Dr. Christian. And have you any more light, Dr. Christian, to shed on the strange incident you told us tonight?
Well, if I knew any more, I would have told you, Art. I don't pretend to a rational explanation of such happenings, and yet there are medical records of them. At any rate, it was the last such dream that Alan Fletcher has had, and he seems to be living a completely normal boy's life now.
Well, life in River's End gets more exciting every day. What's next week's story like?
Well, next week our play comes on Valentine's Day, and Valentine's Day always makes me think of Emily Cobb. Emily Cobb lived in River's End most of her life until she became a well-known fashion designer in Chicago. It's her love story that I'm going to tell you next week. So until next Wednesday evening at this same hour, I'll say good night.
Have you seen the RKO picture called Meet Dr. Christian based on this radio series? If not, be sure to go. And then as soon as you've seen it, Gene Hirschold wants you to write him a letter telling him how you liked it and giving him your suggestions regarding future pictures. This is Arthur Gilmore adding a good night for the makers of Vaseline Preparations. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.